Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special pre-Rosh Hashanah shir with the Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah. I thank Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me to present the shir and the zchus of sharing Divrei Torah. Less than a week away, a little bit more, actually, less than 2 weeks away from the Yom HaDin. So I have chosen to focus on tonight's tzedakah. The title of my shir is Tzedakah in the Teshuvah Process and Erasing the Evil Decree. One of the most moving and awesome tefillos of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Seder HaTfila in the Musaf service is what we call Uvi Unisana Tokev Kedushas Hayom. Let us now relate the power, the awesomeness of the day's holiness. Kihu Nora Va'ayam. It is awesome. It is frightening. And on this day, God's kingship will be crowned, and he will sit on his crown in truth. And he is the judge, and he is the prover, and he is the one who knows, and he is the witness, and he is the one who writes, and he is the one who stamps, and he is the one who counts, and he is the one who remembers everything that is forgotten. And he opens up the Sefer HaZichronos, and it reads by itself. It's frightening. V'tiftach es Sefer HaZichronos. The Ribbono Shel Olam opens up the Book of Remembrances. U'me'alav yikorei. It reads by itself. All of our deeds call themselves out in the Beis Din Shamala. V'chosem yad ko adambo. And everyone's hand is signed. Your signature is there. You can't say, I didn't do it. The book is going to read itself. Our decree will, our deeds will read themselves. Even the things that we forget, they're written there. They're stamped there. V'chosem yad ko adambo. Everyone's hand has signed his own book. U'bashofar gadol yitaka. There is a great shofar blast. V'kol d'mama daka yishama. God is heard in the thin stillness. And even the angels are trembling. And they're saying in Shemayim, Hina Yom Hadin, behold, it is the day of judgment. And every single person is going to pass through Din. Kizlo Yizku Be'enecha B'din. Who can be vindicated in your eyes from judgment? And all of the world's inhabitants pass before God like sheep of a flock who are passing under the staff of the shepherd. So we pass, and so we are counted, and so an accounting is taken. And then we say, Barash Hashanah Yikasevun, B'yamtzam Kippur Yechasemun. How many will pass? How many will be created? Who will live and who will die? Who in his time and who before its time? Who by water? Who by fire? Who by sword? U'teshuva, u'tefila, u'tzedaka, ma'avirin es roa ha'gzeira. And we believe, and we have three tenets of our faith in terms of erasing the evil decree, and that is that teshuva, repentance, u'tefila, and prayer, u'tzedaka, and charity, ma'avirin es roa ha'gzeira, erase the evil decree. So yes, it's true. Our hand has signed our Sefer HaZichronos. It's true. Our deeds will call themselves out. It's true. In the Olam HaEmes, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not take bribes, and we cannot deny what we did when we stand before God on the Yom HaDin. It is Nora Va'ayam. But it is also true that if we engage in teshuva, and we engage in tefillah, sincere tefillah, and sincere teshuva, and we give tzedakah like we are supposed to, ma'avirin es roa ha'gezira. Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha, used to relate the following well-known story. It's a famous story that you may see brought down in other places as well. One winter day, Rav Elia Chaim Meisels, 1821 to 1912, Rav Elia Chaim Meisels of Lodz, he went to visit the home of a wealthy manufacturer by the name of Poznansky. So you have a very important gevir, if you will, in Lodz, and he was a wealthy manufacturer named Poznansky, and this Rav Elia Chaim Meisels went to visit him. The butler answered the door. Rav Elia Chaim entered the vestibule of the home, and he requested that the Baal HaBayis, Mr. Poznansky, meet him there. The butler responded that the owner of the home would like to greet the rabbi in his study, where it is warm and we can sit by the fireplace. But the rabbi insisted that Mr. Poznansky meet him in the entranceway in the hallway. Mr. Poznansky came to meet Rabbi Meisels, and they engaged in a conversation for close to half an hour. As the vestibule was not heated, Mr. Poznansky was shivering from the cold, and he asked the rabbi repeatedly, Rabbi Meisels, please let's enter the home where we can continue talking. Rabbi Meisels responded he had come to collect money for the destitute people in town who could not afford firewood. He therefore insisted that Mr. Poznansky meet him in the vestibule so that he himself would experience the cold of winter. And once he experienced the cold of winter, he would be more inclined to give to those unfortunates who had less. Teshuva tefila tzadaka ma'avirin esroa ha'gzeira. In the Machzor, over those words, tzom, calling out, tzom, fasting, calling out with our voice, or call Yaakov, ayidayim et esav. And finally, mamon, tzedaka is defined by giving of our provisions, by giving of our sustenance, by giving what we have to somebody else, each person according to their own level, what they are able to give. I am now quoting from the Machzor Masoros Harav, ala Rosh Hashanah, for Rosh Hashanah. It's a very, very beautiful set of Machzorim. I've recommended a number of Shirim so far this season. Highly recommend them. Okay, they're the art school texts that we are familiar with, but the commentary underneath is the teachings of Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. It's just a little public service announcement. FYI, highly recommend them. Many, many insights. Okay? So, usashuva usafila utzadaka, but repentance, prayer, and charity. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that the Rambam writes, part of the process of teshuva is for the penitent to constantly yell out before Hashem with crying and supplication. So I told you that over the words, you'll see it in your own machzor. If you look, it says usashuva, over that it says tzom. Usafila, it says the word kol. Over utzadaka, it says the word mammon. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva that part of the process of Teshuva, part of the repentance process, is for the penitent to constantly yell out before Hashem, call, Haramas call, but with crying and with supplication, and to engage in charity in accordance with his ability. Based on the Rambam's formulation, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the meaning of this statement is that in our prayers, teshuva is inspired via prayer and via charity. So when teshuva, when we are stirred to repent through our tefillos, our calling out, our call, and through our tzedakah, having compassion on others and giving from our bank account, from our means, from what we have to somebody who has less, this averts the evil decree. Okay, usafila, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the specific prayer that is referred to in this phrase is the prayer of slichos, which begins for Ashkenazim, at least this Motzei Shabbos. When engaging in regular prayer, we fulfill the imperative of when engaging in regular daily prayer, we fulfill the imperative of avodasha believe. Ulabda b'chol avavchem, ezehi avodashi believe, havei omer zohi tefila, tainis 2a. This is service of the heart. However, recitation of slichos, says the Rav, and we are preparing for the final countdown really before Rosh Hashanah, is not avodah shebelev per se, but it is an integral part of the teshuva process. So when we say usafila ma'arvir and esro hagzeh, we're not talking about regular tefila, which we all must engage in, but it's the added slichos tefilos that are part of the teshuva process. And the teshuva process is inspired by these slichos tefilos and inspired by tzedakah. Now let's talk about the tzedakah portion of this as per Rabbi Soloveitchik. The Gemara Masachas Rosh Hashanah derives the principle that charity is part of the teshuva process from the verse that states, Tzedakah tatzil mimaves. Charity saves one from death. It's a verse in Mishlei Perek Yod. And the Gemara is explaining that tzedakah is part of the charity process. So it's not just giving tzedakah, it's understanding that it should inspire us to repent. An even earlier source can be derived from the Torah itself. Where do we see this idea that tzedakah tatzil mimavis from the Torah itself? Immediately after the episode of the golden calf, which we read about in Shemos Perek Lamed Beis in Kitisa, God commanded the Jews to donate in order to build the Mishkan. In the desert, who did they have to give tzedakah to? There was no Tamchei Shabbos, there was no Atzala, there was no yeshivas. Everybody was learning Torah. Everybody was sustained by the man that fell from Shemaim. Everybody was protected by the Ananei HaKavod. So where did they donate to, says the Rav? In the desert, they donated as a tikkun for Chet HaEgel to erase the evil decree of death. God commanded that in the aftermath of Egel, they donate to the Mishkan. But did God really need a Mishkan, says Rabbi Soloveitchik? After all, in King Solomon's world, say for Malachim, the highest heavens cannot contain you. It's not even possible for the highest heavens to contain you. Why did the people have to contribute to something that wasn't really needed? If you didn't really need the Mishkan, then why did God tell them to contribute? Why did they have to take Zahav, Kesef, Nechoshes, Tches, Argaman, Tola, Shani, Sheish, Izim? They had to take Ovos, Elim, Adamim, Ovos, Techashim. They had to take Shitim. What was the purpose? Did God need a Mishkan? No, the answer is we needed the Mishkan. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the answer is God taught the Jews that giving tzedakah is part of the teshuva process. So that's what we have to understand. It's not just giving teshuva in and of itself. It's not just tefillah in and of itself. It's teshuva, it's tefillah And tzedakah is part of the teshuva process. Engaging in these acts, penitential prayers, slichos, engaging in the act of charity should move us, should stir us to come to a place where we recognize our failings, we realize our weaknesses, we want to repent and return unto God. And therefore, Moshe was teaching them, if you need a tikkun for worshiping Chayit HaEgel, the tikkun will be tzedakah towards the Mishkan as part of the tshuva process. They cannot give tzedakah to poor people, says the Rav, because there were no beggars or paupers in the desert. It was a classless, no class society. They were told to donate whatever they had to the Mishkan. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, quote, why is tzedakah part of the teshuva process? How does it refine us? How does it change us? How does it fit into the picture of teshuva? Excuse me. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, sin is a result of selfishness. Sin is a result of selfishness. It's easy to understand that. I want to eat basar b'chalav, for example. I need to be mechal Shabbos, for example. I want to keep all the money and not give it away to tzedakah. I want to eat chametz on Pesach. It's a result of selfishness. I want, I need, I have, I feel, I demand, I deserve. Nechama Leibovitz, Allah HaShalom, used to say, people say, magia li. Nechama Leibovitz used to say, lo magia lachem klum. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, sin is a result of selfishness. When temptation, taiva, overrules sacred principles. Why do we sin? Any sin. Because our taiva, our yetzer hara, our base desires, overrule sacred principles. One abandons tradition because of the little pleasure one expects to derive from the performance of the forbidden deed. It feels good to tell the Lashon Hara in the moment. It feels good to tell the gossip. It feels good to be in the know right in the moment. Oh, after, hopefully, you might feel a little bad. But we want to have that momentary pleasure. And it overrides our sacred principles and its selfishness. Tzedakah, however, is the very opposite of this midah. Tzedakah, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, denotes sympathy. It demonstrates compassion. Whereas sin comes from selfishness, I want, I need, I have, I feel. Tzedakah is born of what do you need? What do you have? What do you feel? Or how do you feel? What can I do for you? It is the very antithesis of the cause of sin. And that's what tzedakah is part of the tshuva process. It donates our, it demonstrates sympathy, compassion, and a willingness to share with others. For this reason, quote, forgiveness for sin can only be attained through tzedakah. Teshuva, u'seshuva, u'sefila, u'tzedakah. And the sefila and the tzedakah should spur us to tshuva, and they are an integral part. They're not each standing on their own. They are part and parcel of the teshuva process because they show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we have compassion on somebody else. Furthermore, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, tzedakah serves as a kind of ransom. Okay? A person's in jail. Soloveitchik says, quote, a sinner is in essence a captive. We are captive. Now, we know that there's a mitzvah of pidyon shvuim. If a person is captive, rachman al tzan, chas v'sham. So there's a mitzvah, there's a command on the community to ransom that person. A sinner is, in essence, a captive, quote, a prisoner. In order to redeem himself, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, he has to pay the ransom. Can you post bail? What's the bail? The Torah describes the half shekel as a kofar, a redemption. If you look in Parashas Kitisa, Perek Lamed, the half shekel is described as a kofar nefesh, kofar yom hakipurim. It is an atonement for the soul because we have to understand that in essence, I am in the jail of the Yetzer Hara. I am not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. I'm in the prison of sin. How am I going to get out of here? It's the Yom HaDin. Rabbi Soloveitchik reminisces in a different source when he was a young boy in Cheder and Kaslavish, and the Chabad Malamid would say, children, boys, tonight the king is coming to town. And they would say, is Tsar Nicholas coming? And the Chabad Malamid would say, no, it is not Tsar Nicholas who's coming. It's the Malach Machir, Malachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king of all kings. Today's coronation day, the king is coming. So you're in jail and the king sits in judgment and they call you into the courtroom and they say, what do you have to say for yourself? You know, we're going to have to say nothing. What am I going to say? It's terrifying. What am I going to say? Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to start to be melamed zchus upon myself while I'm in the court. It's not going to work. But if you're willing to pay the bail, if you're willing to pay the ransom, if you're willing to show sympathy, compassion, kindness to someone else, oh, now we're talking about a different story. Furthermore, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, upon initial examination, it would seem that the word tzedakah, which is rooted in something I stress all the time in my classes, is that I am fascinated by lessons from Shorashim in Lashon HaKodesh. Tzedakah is rooted in the word tzedek, tzadi dalet kuf, justice. Now, says Rav Salat, tzedek tzedek tirdof v'mantichya, justice, righteousness you shall pursue. Now, this seems to be strange, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. It seems an inappropriate word to use. Justice describes charity. Performing an act of charity is generally understood as a chesed, a kindness to one's fellow. We owe nothing to the poor person, we think. The impoverished person has no legal claim on our act of charity. It is chesed. Where is the act of justice, the tzedek, and the giving of tzedakah? Perhaps, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, tzedakah should have been called chesed. How do we understand justice in the compassion we show to someone else? And he quotes the Rambam, Maimonides from Moreh Nevuchim. Charity, in fact, is an act of justice. It is an obligation, not a free offering. And this, in fact, is how the halacha views the charitable act. Listen to this quote. There is no other legal system in the world that allows the taking of charity by force other than the Jewish legal system. The very idea of charity would seem to be negated by any coercive component. If you're forcing somebody, you think that it's not a chesed. If you're forcing somebody, you think it's not tzedakah. But there's an explicit ruling in the Gemara, it's quoted by Rav Soloveitchik, in Baba Basra. It is permissible to remove objects from the home of a prosperous person who refuses to give charity, even on a Friday afternoon before sundown. So I don't recommend anyone go into anyone else's house of any other wealthy person. If you know, you don't know. First of all, you don't know anyway. I'd say you know that they don't give charity. We cannot, and I don't know if the Beis Din today could even do this. I don't even know how we paskal the Maisa, but the very fact that the Gemara writes that there is a law that the Beis Din could go into the home of a wealthy person who refuses to give tzedakah, even on an Erev Shabbos close to sundown, and take away his property. That means it is an act of achiyuv. It's not chasad. It's not a donation of free will. It's something every Jew is obligated to take part of. Most Rishonim agree there is a legal lien on one's charity similar to the lien of a borrower. Why, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, did the Torah establish the institution of charity as a financial obligation? And it's something I think that we inculcate and teach our children from very young ages. Our children know from a very young age the concept of Maaser, the idea of giving. We have bike-a-thons, High Life Lane has swim-a-thons, jump-a-thons, bike-a-thons. Children have lemonade stands. I drove by a few weeks ago. I was driving by someone I know, her kids are outside of lemonade stand. It was on Central Avenue in Woodmere. And I passed by quickly, just very quickly. And you know when something happens and you pass by and you take note of it as it's happening? And by the time I drove by, it was like a block and a half later. And I said, should I go back? My schedule is very tight. Baruch Hashem, make a U-turn, go back, turn around, don't go back. And I thought, wait a minute, when I get to Shemayim, do I want to have to give an accounting because I didn't buy lemonade from that lemonade stand? So I turned around and I went back. And what did I buy? Two snacks. They were selling two snacks. And I said to the child's mother, is it for himself? I still would have bought it. Or for some, she said, no, he's collecting for Chai Lifeline. That's an idea that we teach our children from a very, very young age. Why, says the Rav, did the Torah establish the institution of charity as a financial obligation? Quote, Hashem wished to ingrain within us the concept that all of our possessions are really his. Li ha-kesef, I believe it's a passage from Chagai. It's quoted at the end of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Vav, Mishnah Tes. Li hakasef veli hazav nuhum Hashem tzvakos. The gold is mine, the silver is mine, says Hashem, the God of hosts. Even this week's parsha is the mitzvah Bikurim. Bikurim teaches us that all the fruit is not ours. Your fruit's growing, your tree's growing, pomegranates and figs and grapes and olives. What did I forget? Figs, dates. And it's not yours. You have to set aside one and you say, this is not mine. Hareza Bikurim. The Mishnah says he has to declare Hareza Bikurim. And that piece goes up as a tribute to the Mishkan / Beit HaMikdash. And the Kohen eats it. This is a form of recognizing that everything the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us does not belong to us. Hashem wished to ingrain in us, says Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, the concept that all money is really his. Whatever he gives us is conditional on our giving charity. This is what we learn from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. He quotes in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel. Give him from his own, and you for you and your possessions are his. Give him tein lo mishalo. You're giving back what's really God's in the first place. For you and what you own are his. Similarly, King David says, David HaMelech says in Divrei HaYamim, for everything is from you, and from your own we have given you. Avram was the first to reveal this aspect of charity to the world. And Hashem says, I love him. He will keep the way of Hashem. La asos tzedek u'mishpat. I don't have the exact pasuk in front of me. Hashem says about Avraham Avinu, he will command his children after him to carry on in this way. And it's one of the hallmarks of Am Yisrael. It is a hallmark of Am Yisrael. If there's ever, we all know, if there's ever a fund for whatever reason, an emergency fund, that it goes around online, it's on people's WhatsApp status, you get the emails, the money is collected so quickly. We live with this idea that it is not really ours in the first place, and it is not ours at all. God has granted us a gift. We must use this gift as part of the teshuva process. And then the Rav concludes that he says, it's not only charity, but many other mitzvos that are based on Hashem's ownership of the world. I gave you the example of Bikurim. The Rav says, quote, such as the agricultural laws of Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't specifically name Bikurim, but this being the parasha, it's in my mind. All of these are based on the principle that Hashem's, LaHashem Aretz Umloah. Everything in the earth belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And sometimes, you know, especially this time of year, we get a lot of envelopes and a lot of emails. And of course, everyone has to decide and choose which is Anya Yerchad Kodmin. Rabbi Shai Shachter told me, I was once discussing last year maybe, said Anya Yerchad Kodmin doesn't only mean the people of your city. Okay? It means what is the closest fund to you. So let's say you, now everyone, I'm not telling you any Pesach Halacha, you ask your own rabbi, you make your own decisions. Just telling you something that was shared with me. So let's say there's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. That's very close to you, whether your child had an education there, your spouse had an education there, for whatever reason, it's very close to you. That's considered your aniyim, even though you could say it's not where I live, it's thousands of miles away. Nevertheless, that's part of anye ircha. So this time of year, everyone has to decide. But we have to understand that yoser mimasha bal bais oseima aniya, ani oseima bal bais. The act of giving charity to somebody else actually has the power to erase my evil decree. Usashuva usufila utsadaka from the root word tzedek. Yes, it's a legal obligation. Yes, we learned it back in the midbar. Yes, the Gemara says you can go into somebody's house and take his property. Mamash Erev Shabbos before sundown. But ultimately, what I have to understand is they are giving me an opportunity to erase the evil decree. Because the Sefer Chaim, the Sefer Mavis Psucha in the front of the Gemara says, the Malachim say to Ribbono Shel Olam, I think it's Rosh Hashanah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah 32b. So Malachim Yashar say, Ribbono Shel Olam, why aren't Klal Yisrael singing Shiva today? Why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? We say Hallel on Pesach, we say Hallel on Sukkos, we say Hallel on Chanukah, we say Hallel on Shavuos. Why is there no Hallel? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Sefer Achayim v'Sefer Mavis Psuchim Lefanai v'Yisrael Omrim Shiva. Is it appropriate that at this awesome time of judgment, when every single person's deeds are given and counting, they should be singing Hallel? So what is the ransom that we must pay to save ourselves? One aspect of teshuva is tzedakah. In 1905, Rabbi Soloveitchik tells this vignette over. I'm quoting from all different svarim of the Rav, by the way. Rav Eliyahu Meisels is brought down in Chumash Masoros Rav Shmos. I was just quoting from the Machzor HaRav, the Rosh Hashanah. And the next vignette is quoted in the Rav by Rabbi Aaron Rakevet Rothkopf, all different sources. In 1905, a young Jewish man from Brisk, okay, the Rav's grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker Zatzal, his grandfather, his great-grandfather was a Beis HaLevi, Rav Yashar Ber Soloveitchik of Brisk. In 1905, a young Jewish man from Brisk, who was a Bundist, he was a member of the Bund. The Bund was a Jewish socialist party, not religious party, a Jewish socialist party. And this young Jewish man from Brisk threw a bomb at a Russian general in Warsaw. The young man was apprehended and speedily brought to trial, where he was found guilty, no surprise, and sentenced to death by firing squad within 24 hours. News of the verdict reached the Rav's grandfather of Chaim Brisker during the Kol Nidre prayer. News of the verdict reached the Chaim Brisker during Kol Nidre, the holiest night of the year. He immediately stopped the davening and demanded that the people go home and return with money for the young man's ransom. Rav Chaim sent his shamish to every shul in Brisk, to interrupt the davening and collect the funds. The dayan, Rav Simcha Zelig, who was very, very close to Rav Chaim Brisker, stood beside Rav Chaim, the dayan of the town, stood beside him and supported him in all of his actions. This is on the Yom Kippur night. 3,000 rubles were collected on Le'ol Yom Kippur, Le'ol Kol Nidre. That evening, after the money had been collected, Rav Chaim of Simcha Zalig went with the money to the home of the police commissioner of Brisk. At first, he refused to accept the money, but after some persuasion, he agreed. The next morning, on the day of Yom Kippur itself, the rabbis, I'm talking about Rav Chaim Brisker, and his dying of Simcha Zalig, accompanied the police commissioner on the train to Warsaw. On Yom Kippur morning, the police commissioner testified and swore that the young man had an alibi. He had been with him when the attempted assassination took place. Once the alibi was given, the young man from Brisk was released. On Kol Nidre night, they demanded that everyone go home and start collecting funds. And they went to every shul in Brisk and demanded that everyone go home and collect funds. Because when we show compassion to someone else, b'midah she'adam modeid modedin lo, the Ribono she'olam shows compassion, b'ezrat Hashem, to us. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Ksubos, Kufir Aleph Amar Beis, very famously, that it is more important or better to show the whites of the teeth to the pauper than to give milk. What is the Gemara saying? The whites of the teeth refer to a smile. When a person smiles, you see the white of the teeth. Milk refers to financial sustenance. So the Gemara says it's better to show the whites of your teeth than to give milk. Now, of course, in many instances, in most instances, the person actually needs a tzedakah. But the Gemara is teaching us the way in which we must give tzedakah. It's not begrudgingly another donation, another envelope, another email, another fund. It should be with the understanding that that person is a person of dignity. It should be with the understanding that I have a chiyuv as a yed. It should be with the understanding this is part of the teshuva process, and ultimately me giving to them saves my life. Never mind what I'm doing for them. I now quote from one of the giant thinkers of our time, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, and the Sefer Covenant and Conversation, Deuteronomy. The psychology of dignity, this essay is called. The psychology of dignity. Quote, listen to these stories. Behind them lies an extraordinary insight into the nature of Jewish ethics. Okay, first quotes from Medrash Vayikra Rabba. When Rabbi Yonah saw a man of a good family who lost his money and was ashamed to accept charity, he would go to him and say, I have heard an inheritance has come your way from across the sea. Here is an article of some value. Sell it and use the proceeds. When you are more affluent, you will repay me. As soon as the man took it, Rabbi Yonah would then say, it's yours as a gift. Second vignette that Rabbi Sacks quotes, which is from the Gemara Maseches Ksubos. I just quoted Ksubos about it's better to show the whites of the teeth than to give milk. So now Rabbi Sacks also quotes from the Gemara Maseches Ksubos, Samech Zayim. Mar Ukva had a poor man in his neighborhood into whose door socket he used to throw 4 coins every day. Once the poor man thought, I will go and see who does me this kindness. That day, Mar Ukva stayed late at the house of study, and his wife was coming home with him. As soon as the poor man saw them moving to the door to leave the coins, he ran out after them. But they fled from him and they hid. Why did they flee and hide? Says the Gemara, because it was taught. One should throw himself into a fiery furnace rather than put his neighbor to shame. So Mar Ukva and his wife didn't want this poor pauper to know who was the source of the charity. Another Maisa, as related in Maseches Chagiga, when Rabbi Yannai saw a certain man giving a coin to a poor person in front of everyone, he said, it would have been better not to give it to him than to have given it to him and put him to shame. So it's not only that tzedakah erases the evil decree, it is the way in which the tzedakah is given. It must be done with compassion and with sensitivity. From these three maisim of Chazal, the one from the Medrash of Vayikra, Rabbi Yonah would say, an inheritance has come my way, you'll pay me back. And then as soon as the man accepted it, he says, it's yours as a gift, i.e. there's no more loan, you don't have to pay me back, there's no prusbol, it's yours, keep it. Mar Ukva and his wife hid so that the man for who they left 4 coins would not see and would not be embarrassed. And finally, when Rabbi Yannai saw a certain man giving charity in public, he said it would be better that you should not give the charity than give it in public and embarrass him. Says the great Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, these stories all have to do with the mitzvah of tzedakah, whose source is in Parshas Re'eh. Pasoch tiftach es yarcha la'achicha avyo. Al tikpots yarcha, do not close your hand. Ki pasoach tiftach es yarcha. So surely open your hand. What the Chazal are teaching us, quote, is something radical and of highest importance. Judaism conceives of poverty, listen carefully, Rabbi Sachs's mom is brilliant. Judaism conceives of poverty not only in material terms, not only that the poor lack the means of sustenance. Poverty is understood through the lens of Chazal as psychological terms. Poverty humiliates. It robs people of dignity. It makes them dependent on others. It deprives them of self-respect. And so tzedakah, it's brilliant. He's making a chiddush. It's not only to be an ani, meaning how much money do you have in your bank account or how much do you not have in your bank account. It's an ani of personality as well. A person who lacks material goods to sustain themselves is also going to lack the emotive experience of self-respect. And this is far more impoverishing than the former. Says Rabbi Sachs, tzedakah is addressed not only to people's physical needs, but also tzedakah must address people's psychological needs, says Rabbi Sachs. The rabbis based their approach on the pasuk as follows. Be open-handed and freely lend him, sufficient for his need, pasuk from Devarim Perek Tesvav, that which he lacks. You must supply him with that which he lacks. And Rashi to the Chumash quotes this from the Gemara. You are commanded to maintain him, but not to make him rich. However, some of you might remember the Rashi from Parshas Re'eh. What does Rashi say there? You have to even supply him a horse to ride on and a slave to run before him. What is Chazal trying to tell us? That you may have to make sure this person's dignity is maintained. Just like we want our dignity to be maintained, when you are the giver, you have to make sure the other person's dignity is maintained. It is told of Hillel the elder, the Gemara says, Hillel HaZakein, that he brought for a certain poor man of a good family a horse to ride on and a slave to run before him. On one occasion, he could not find a slave to run before him, so he himself ran before the man for 3 miles. In Jewish law, we are first required to provide food, housing, furniture, pay for a wedding if necessary. However, there is also something else, relative poverty. Oh, 1 second. How did that happen? Someone's not muted. 1 moment, please. Okay, let's keep going. The second idea here is that relative poverty, relative, however, not to others, but to the individual's own standard of previous living. Someone who was once rich, and Rachmana Litzlan says Rabbi Sachs is now poor, has received a devastating psychological blow. And that's not something that we can undermine, and that's not something we can diminish. You know, it's interesting. I've spoken on a number of occasions to somebody who lives in Far Rockaway, who before the Yamim Tovim would collect from people in the neighborhood for people who making Yom Tov was hard for them. And she would tell me that sometimes she would collect and the people who earmarked the funds would say, this is specifically for chicken, specifically so they could buy food. And she would say to me that that was hard for her. Let's say, she said, the woman wanted to buy a new outfit for Yom Tov. Let's say she wanted to treat herself to a manicure. Let's say she wanted to buy Mishpacha magazine in honor of Sukkot to make her feel like a mensch. That's really what the Torah is saying. Tzedakah must address two needs. One, the financial need of the ani. But two, the psychological and emotional need of the ani as well. You could say, why does he need a horse to ride in front of him? I'm sorry, a horse to ride and a slave to ride in front of him. He should be happy enough that he could buy food in the supermarket. So the Torah is telling you two things. That person is a person. That person's a mensch. You are created in the image of God, and so is he. And we must treat that person as such. Hence the story of Hillel HaZakein, who's paralyzed in the fact that he himself was notoriously poor, yet he gave of his money and time to help a rich man who had lost all wealth to gain self-respect. This duality. So here he's really giving a chiddush. He's pointing out something which might be obvious from the sources, but you need someone to put it together. One, tzedakah involves financial assistance. Two, tzedakah must ensure that we maintain or restore the dignity of the person on the receiving end. That when you give to them, they should feel like a mensch. This duality is evident throughout the laws of tzedakah. They are directed to the brute fact of poverty, says Rabbi Sacks, but they also address, quote, with great sensitivity, the psychology of poverty. The Torah is so sensitive. Halacha is so sensitive. Our Rabbanim are so sensitive. Poverty demeans, shames, and humiliates. And good society cannot allow humiliation. Protecting dignity and avoiding humiliation was a systematic element of rabbinic law. Something that I mentioned in a shiur a few weeks ago, I don't remember the venue, that my son goes to Baruch Hashem, Mesivta Chaim, Shlomo Vishiva Darchi Torah, Rav Yaakov Bender, the legendary mechanich, and Rosh HaYeshiva is the Rosh HaYeshiva over there. And every Erev Pesach, I remember this past year when he told me, he came and he said, Rabbi Bender called me in, every single boy in the Mesivta, that means 9th through 12th grades, is called in one by one to Rabbi Bender's office, individually. He's asked how he's doing, what does he need? Does he need a new suit for Yantif? And if he does, Rabbi Bender gives him a gift card to one of the suit stores on Central Avenue. Shmuel told me it's no one's allowed to say what happened. No one's allowed to repeat their conversation. No one knows anything about anybody else. It's between Rabbi Bender Shlita and this boy. It's maintaining dignity when you have to give. And really, b'midash adam modei modu din lo, don't we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to maintain our dignity when he gives to us? If it's a ransom, if yoser mimasha ba'al bayis osei ma'ani, ani osei ma'al bayis, then the way I treat him, ultimately, is the way I will be treated. Protecting dignity, going back to Rabbi Sacks, and avoiding humiliation was a systematic element of rabbinic law. So, for example, the rabbis ruled that even the richest should be buried plainly so as not to shame the poor. Maseches Moed Katan 27b. Everyone in death, death is the great equalizer. On certain festive days, Mishnah Tainis, girls, especially those from wealthy families, had to wear borrowed clothing so as not to shame those who do not have. Now here you could say, well, why can't I wear what I want and she wear what she wants? The Rabbanim and Chazal were so sensitive to the feelings of our fellow Jew. The rabbis intervened to lower the prices of religious necessities, Maseches Psachim, so no one would have to be excluded from communal celebrations. Work conditions had to be humane. Freedom presupposes self-respect. And a free society, says the great Rabbi Sacks, will therefore be one that robs no one of the basic human entitlement. He points out something very, very interesting, was that many of the world's religions have praised poverty, even embraced it as a virtue. They tell story of saints who gave away all they have and spent their lives with next to nothing. Judaism rejects this absolutely. The sages refuse to romanticize poverty or to anesthetize its pain. I have to skip. I already see what time it is. The point is, it's a longer essay. Rabbi Sacks is teaching us that tzedakah has a twofold component. One is to maintain the standards of living, to help this person survive, whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whether it's heating, of Mizos to Mr. Poznansky, whether it's firewood for the poor people who didn't have firewood. But it's also to be done with a sense of dignity. We do not romanticize anius. We do not laud Ashiras. We understand that everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I am a way station. I'm just passing through here. And it is my achrayus to give of what I have to somebody else. I want to go with you to the Gemara. I'm going to screen share to the handout that I have here. I could just find it. Okay, can you see that it says Masecha Shabbos 156b? Yeah, okay, very good. So this is a piece in Aramaic. Let's go through it together, okay? The Gemara starts by saying, Ein mazel li Yisrael. There is no mazel for Yisrael. There's others that say there are, whatever. We're going to look at this piece of Gemara. De Shmua va'avleit havu yasvi. Shmua and avleit, a Persian astrologer, were sitting one time. Vahavu kozli hanach inashe the agama. They saw people going to the pond, agam. They see these people going down to the lake. Amarle avle lishmua. Avle said to Shmua, this person, astrologer, says to Shmua, Hai gavra aza velo asai. That guy is going to go down to the lake, down to the pond. He's not going to return. Trei klei chavia umayis. Chavia is snake in Aramaic. There are some who say that Chava was named Chava after she ate from the Eitz Hadas and gave Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas because she took the advice of the Nachash. So she was called Chava. Chavia is Nachash in Aramaic. Fine, just an aside. He's going to go down to the lake. He's not going to return. He's going to be bitten by a snake and he will die. Amar le Shmuel. Shmuel said, Ibar Yisraelu, if he is Yisrael, if he's a Jew, Azov Ase, he's going to go down to the lake and he's going to return. What happened? Adiyasvi Azov Ase. They're sitting. So he goes down to the lake, this guy, and he returns. The Gemara continues. Come of late. We're going to use Beer Steins out to do the second paragraph. Come of late, Shaddai Letunye. Amar Avle, Avle got up. Well, just look at the Hebrew, the Beer Steinsatz on the Gemara, okay? Beer Steinsatz translates the Gemara into Lashon HaKodesh because I do not have time to read the whole thing in Aramaic, even though I would like to. So let's just look at Beer Steinsatz, which you see on my screen here. We're going to read the piece of Gemara continuing in Lashon HaKodesh. Amar Avle, Avle got up, the person astrologer. He shlich me also ish esmaso umatzo betocho nachash. Avle gets up. He takes this guy's saddle pack. He's predicted that the guy's going to die. And the guy comes back from the lake. Like Shmuel said, he looks at his knapsack and he sees betocho nachash, a snake shechosech that was cut umeshulach b'shnei gzarim. He sees the snake that was cut into two pieces. That was the snake, Avle realized. It's supposed to bite the guy, so he's going to die. Amar le Shmuel also Adam. Shmuel realizes what happened. Avle said he's going to die. Taka, he was supposed to die. There's the poisonous snake, but something happened. The snake died in the saddle pack. The snake's cut into it. The guy is saved. So Shmuel says to the man, Ma asisa shebischar zunit saltam imavis. What did you do that you were clearly saved from death? Amar lo also Adam, the man says to him, I'm sorry, I can't do the Aramaic, the original, no time. Amar lo, b'chol yom hainu matilim v'noslim pas b'yachad, v'hainu ochem yachad minapas. Every day, me and my colleagues, we take a lunch break, we get together at work, we pool our food. What's it called? Potluck. We have potluck at work, we all pool our food, we all eat together from the bread. Hayom haya echad me'isanu, shalo haya lo lechem. Today, one person came to work, and he didn't have any bread to contribute. There was no money. He didn't have bread. Ubishal kach, and because of this, hayam mitbayesh, he was embarrassed. Shekasher yagiyaz man gviyas alechem lo yuchal atay mishalo. He realized that, oh my gosh, we're going to do potluck. Everyone's going to put their food in the middle. I have nothing to contribute. I'm so embarrassed. Amarti lahem. So this man said to the co-workers, libnei ha-chabura. He said to the rest of the co-workers, the people who are in the chabura, ani akum ve'ekach ha-sakalechem. You know what the guy said today? I'm going to be the one to collect the bread. Kishigati elav asisi atzmi kilu lo kachti mimenu kadesh shelo yispayish. And this man is telling Shmuel that when I was at work earlier today, before I came down to the lake to go for a night swim, so what did I do? I said I'm going to collect the bread from everyone. When I got to this man who I knew didn't have any bread, asisi atzmi kilu lo kachti mimenu, I pretended to take from him kadesh shelo yispayish, so you shouldn't be embarrassed. Amar lo Shmuel. Shmuel says mitzvah asisa, you have done a mitzvah. Yatza Shmuel v'darash al samach ma'isazeh. Shmuel went out and he darshaned on the story af shenemar v'tzedaka tatzil mimavas, which is how we began in Rav Soloveitchik. Tzedaka saves one from death. V'lo mimisa mishuna bilvad matzila ha-tzedaka ela mimisa atzma. Says Shmuel, what I learned from this story is when the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavis, charity saves one from death, which was the whole premise of our shir, because we began in Unusana Tokef, Usashuva Usafila Utzedakah Ma'avirnas Harar Gzeira. I realized that not only does Tzedakah save someone from a strange and unusual death, but it saves someone from death itself. And I end by quoting the Vilna Gaon, the great Gra, Zatzal Zechusa Yagin Eleinu, Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavis. He says, you see this in the word Machatzis. Just look on my screen. Let's finish this up in 30 seconds. Machatzis. Machatzis was the Machatzis HaShekel, going back to Rav Soloveitchik, that they have to give in the desert to the Mishkan, which was their Tzedakah, which was the Kapara for Cheda Ega. If you look at the word Machatzis, the Gra says, the middle letter is Tzadi. That stands for Tzedakah. The two letters closest to the Sadi are Ches and Yud. That's the word Chai. If you keep yourself close to Tzedakah, you ensure Chai, life. The two letters farthest from the Sadi are Mem and Tav, which spell Mis. If you move yourself away from Tzedakah, Rachmana Litzlan, It will not save you from death. Tzedaka tatzum imav, said Shmuel, I learned from the story that not only does it save you from misa mishuna, but it even saves you from mitza atzma. So time for the next speaker. I thank everyone for joining. Usa shuva, usa fila, usa daka as part of the teshuva process. Ma'avir nisroah ha'gzeira be'ezras Hashem. We should all be zocha to akasiva v'chasima tova, ashana tova u'mesuka for us and all of Klai. So I thank you so much, everybody, for joining. I thank Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me. And enjoy, everybody, the next year. Kol tov and ashana tova.